Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 505, Paranormal Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. I'm telling you, man, if I had a new person come to the house and it's like, hey, let's watch Netflix, I would be straight up embarrassed. It's nothing but Bigfoot and ancient aliens and just, I need like a shadow account or something.
There's two reactions to that. Somebody sees that search history or recommended videos and just kind of laughs it off and shakes their head, or they are.
They're like, all in.
Dude.
It's a divider of people.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Yes.
Back with us, we have Shane Grove and the judge from the Shadows podcast. Guys, nice to talk to you again.
Hey, great to be on.
Judge, let me tell you what an enormous dork I am. So I've listened to your episode on Sasquatch Chronicles twice all the way through, and here and there when it's on like a best of or something. I went to Google Earth and I found where it happened. I found like,
because
you tell like, here are the cross streets. And I literally could zoom in and see like where your friend's house was at that intersection.
Yep.
And it was so exciting. Like I was giddy like a little girl. I'm like, this is where he jumped the fence. And like, oh man, I need to get a life. So, but that was really
cool.
Now
come to Ohio and I'll take you down the road to give you a personal tour.
Dude, I'm telling you, I might get in the car. You don't know who you're talking to. That was just, I love that episode. If you weren't with us, the judge, when he was a 15-year-old kid, was a runner and he saw a dog man in the cornfield, which I'm still jealous of Andrew, who had the joke it was a corn dog man. but it's just such a good episode. Boys, we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about today. I understand that you recently had a Bigfoot expert on from Illinois. Take it away. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, we had Stan Courtney on. Check him out, stancourtney.com. Unbelievable guest. But I'll tell you what, I have a cautionary tale. I knew he was going to be on, so he's got all these Bigfoot howls on his website. So I'm out taking my nightly walk through a park. Okay, there's some lights, there's some woods. I'm not too worried there's going to be a dog man. There's no cornfield. And I foolishly start playing these howls. And about 2 minutes after doing that, I swear I hear what sound just like was on the recording howl back at me. And I said, that's it. I'm out of here. And so we talked to Stan about it. He goes, man, you shouldn't have done that. That's a really dumb thing to do.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, the thing about it is, you think about it, I don't know what that howl is saying on that tape.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, imagine going to Mexico City and you don't speak any Spanish and you start shouting out things in Spanish. It could be a challenge to a fight.
Mm-hmm.
It could be saying, hey, somebody come and make love to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what the mating call is of a Bigfoot. I could have gotten myself in a very precarious situation.
I don't want to fight a Sasquatch, but I'd rather do that than have him make love to me. So,
yeah, I'm going to just take the butt whip and maybe rip my arm off.
Yeah, take the beating. So what do you guys think? I know like Wes on Sasquatch Chronicles did a whole thing about Bigfoot communication. And if you guys are into this at all, just Google it, like the Ohio sounds and the samurai chatter. No one knows, but what's your opinion? Do you think that the Bigfoot have their own language?
Well, I think they do, and I think if you look at the animal kingdom and stuff like that, like cats. Cats communicate to each other, and they will talk on a frequency, make sounds you can't even, humans can't even hear. So I think there is a communication going on. And you know the big thing that that we don't know whether this is one Bigfoot challenging another. I mean, if these are animals, they're primates or whatever they are, when a female goes in season or goes in heat, I'm assuming it's going to attract males. And they're gonna you know, if they're like any other animal out there, including Grover, then they're going to be extremely territorial about females and mating and things like that. So, you know, communication, roars, different things like that. I think we got to be really careful about trying to get involved in this, because you may be getting yourself in the middle of two males competing for the same female, and that probably wouldn't end too well for you.
Shane, what do you think about the quote-unquote Bigfoot researchers who go out into the woods and they're knocking on trees and they're doing whoops? Is it like, yeah, wear what you dig, knock yourself out, or do you think that they're dumb and putting themselves in danger?
I don't think they're very smart to go out there in the woods by yourself. And I mean, Stan, as a matter of fact, in the episode, I think he kind of alluded to he learned his lesson as far as, you know, he does not go out without other people, because you just don't know, especially at night. He said, especially at night, he goes, I don't go any farther than 10 feet away from the car. Because these, for whatever we hear about Bigfoot and the stories, they're around you out in certain places in the woods. You have no idea. So why would you feel like you could go out there and communicate with them and go onto their territory? I just don't think it's a very smart idea to especially go out and do something like that by yourself.
Yeah, it's like someone coming into your home and,
exactly.
and yelling, hey, anyone here? You're not going to react well.
Well, no. I mean, imagine if somebody told you that there was a family of chimpanzees living in this woods, you'd be an idiot to go in there and try to find them.
So true.
Because we know they'll rip you apart.
So true.
Tony, and so now you're talking about something that is 5-6 times bigger, and we just don't know. I mean, I know there's a bunch of people out there that think that Sasquatches are these benevolent creatures of the forest, and, you know, so if you think they're animals, then they're animals, and animals will protect their territory. They'll certainly protect their young. And you know, having been a farm kid and understanding that when females go into season and it's breeding season, the males get more aggressive. I just don't think it's a great idea.
What do you guys think that they are animals? Do you have a different theory on?
Well, that is the universal debate that we love to put people on the spot when they get on the show. Do they believe these are flesh and blood, you know, evolutionary primates, or is this something supernatural? Mm-hmm. Some people think they're aliens. I don't know. To use a term of art, the jury is still out on that one.
You know, I don't know a lot about cross species breeding and things like that, but it makes mm-hmm. some sense to me. We know that Gigantopithecus lived, and we know that Neanderthals mm-hmm. and Denisovans lived, and many other hominids. While we may not be able to mate with a gorilla, who knows if one of our ancient ancestors, maybe ones that weren't around for too many thousands of years, could have mm-hmm. crossbred with a Gigantopithecus. I mean, that makes the most sense to me.
Well, I mean, our DNA with the known primates of the day are 98% similar. You know, our DNA with living primates, chimpanzees or whatever, is 98% similar. So we don't know, like Denisovans and things like that, Neanderthals and some of these other things, how much closer that could have been to something else, and crossbred species and stuff like that.
What do you guys make of, there seemed like you see gorillas in the wild bluff charge a lot. And you hear, if you're into this subject, you hear over and over and over again that the Bigfoot do the same thing. Do you think mm-hmm. that is, we don't want to kill one of these hairless monkeys because then a whole bunch more are going to come back with helicopters and guns? What do you think's up with that if that's what's happening?
Well, I think, I mean, obviously that is a typical animal move. So, and sometimes, you know, animals just do that because they're just territorial. They don't really want to engage in combat. and there's, you know, sometimes, I mean, sometimes there could be young nearby. So I don't know. I'm from the camp that these things are dangerous and you shouldn't be out there without a, you know, a high powered rifle, something to protect yourself. And I know there's these shows where these guys wander around out there. I think you're just playing with fire. I think that you put yourself in a situation, especially that we talk about that they're carnivorous and that they eat deer and they eat elk. Well, why the heck wouldn't they eat a human?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, a chimpanzee gets a hold of you, like the happened up there, was it Connecticut? I mean, it started to feast on that lady.
So,
I mean, there was a guy that it ate like almost half the muscles from his buttocks out.
Hmm.
What, not crazy.
That stopped you, didn't it, Tom?
It did. It's
hard, a little too close to home for you.
It's hard to follow up a question after that one. Okay. I'm gonna leave it, and I'm gonna move on. So
last person to say eat half your buttocks out was Kevin Colleen.
According to the Vegas odds, 2021 looks like it's going to be the year that we officially make contact, or at least, or maybe not make contact, but recognize alien life. That's a literal betting line that we've talked about here on the show with all the details coming out about aliens. Do you think we're getting closer and closer to actually verifying a Bigfoot species? Do you think that's right around the corner, or do you think we're as far away as we've ever been?
Hey, I think you should take all your Dogecoin and all your Bitcoin and put it on finding out that what Bigfoot, because I think, listen, we've already come out to almost full disclosure about what is going on with, you know, UFOs and aliens are not far behind. And mm-hmm. if you're from the camp that Bigfoot is part alien, you know, is here because of the aliens, well, then that would be just the natural next step, right?
You know, one of the most interesting accounts I heard just recently on Germer's show, I don't know if you guys heard it, but they saw a Bigfoot with an ankle monitor on. Did you hear that one? These guys were fishing, and they saw this big, giant Sasquatch, and they said, look, I know this sounds insane. I wouldn't say it if it didn't happen because it makes me seem more insane. But they said that this Sasquatch had this big metal ankle thing that looked like when you are in house arrest, suggesting, of course, that the government knows about them and tagged them and is tracking them. That aside, is it your opinion that the government does know about the Bigfoot and they're just keeping us away from them?
Hey, listen, if all the evidence I need is we had Jody Cook on, and Jody Cook is the founder of the North American Dogman Project. And he told us a story, and I can't remember what was on air or off air, but he said his internet provider, you know, the guy that did his website, got a hold of him and said, hey, man, what are you guys doing on that website? Like, are you selling weapons? Are you selling, you know, kit? You know, what are you doing? And he goes, well, why? And he goes, because every single alphabet agency, meaning the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, they're all in your website every day. Somebody's from one of those agencies is looking through. And he goes, because I can see it. So then after he gets told that, he is at a conference speaking, and one of the NSA guys, I believe, comes up to him and says, hey, I just want to introduce myself and let you know that I'm here. And he's like, well, why are you here? He goes, because we gather information. And so he's thinking, but I'm talking about Dogman, talking about Bigfoot, you know? And the guy goes, do not be surprised if you get a phone call in the near future where we need your help. We need some information from you.
Huh.
And he took that to mean absolutely they know, you know, whether they have. Now, why would they need to get information if they had one? Because they could just study it, you know. You know, you'd think they'd be able to figure some stuff out if they actually had one or two. But I think they know about them. Maybe they have a body, at least, I mean, from the stories that we've been told mm-hmm. from people. But I think they're somewhat just in the dark about how big of a deal this is across the United States, because nobody reports. Like, if you hit a dog man tonight on your way home, who are you going to call? The sheriff's department? you know, unless if you didn't kill the dog man and it ran off, I mean, you're not going to call the sheriff's department or the highway patrol. You're going to hopefully call us and we can have you on our show, you know, you know, so then how does the government keep track of how many people are actually coming into contact
right.
with these creatures or seeing them? Cause there's not really a place to report. We just had a Bigfoot sighting, not 25 minutes from us 2 weekends ago. They didn't call the sheriff. They didn't call the police department. They called the
BFRO.
Yeah. And Moneymaker went out and invested, or you know, yeah. called and did the same Google search that you know yeah. you guys did.
Yeah.
And he did. He wrote up an investigation about it, and that never got reported to the authorities. So,
if you want to hear something crazy and how it pertains to the government, go listen to Jody Cook's story about Land Between the Lakes.
Oh yeah,
down Kentucky. In Kentucky.
Yeah,
and the government it is frightening, and I've sworn off ever going there.
Hmm.
But I've encouraged your listeners, go listen to Jody Cook on From the Shadows podcast and hear the story about from down there, Land of the Lakes, and the interviews that he did with the people that were on the scene that saw the bodies. Oh, and then the government. Basically sitting on these guys when they're trying to go down there and film a documentary, it will clearly show you that the government knows something's going on and they're monitoring the situation.
Guys, my producers are feverishly giving me the break sign. I went way too long, but you guys are so much fun to talk to. From the Shadows podcast, I've been listening. I love it. It's quickly replacing Sasquatch Chronicles. Germer can kiss my ass.
Let him know you said that.
Yeah,
he'll
never come on the show. He never returns my calls. Where do people find you? Just anywhere? You got a favorite platform?
You know, you can find us anywhere. I mean, I listen on Spotify. Ourselves. Is that bad that I listen
not
to?
At all. Not at all.
But you can, the best place is to whatever you listen to podcasts on, just go find it, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, find us on Facebook at After the Shadows, join our discussion group, find us on Instagram, and make sure I wanted to tell all the listeners out there in Missouri, make sure you listen to our other little show during the week called the Midweek Howl by Missouri's own Ozark Howler.
We got to have him on. Yeah, that's great. All right, boys. Thank you. Shane.
You can tell a story, trust me.
Shane Judge.
Have a great one.
All right, see you guys.
Yep.
I went way too long. Dave Klein's so mad at me. If you guys have paranormal phone calls, it's time for it now. It's Paranormal Open, ghosts, goblins, anything. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. The only time of the week that you guys call me. I'm going to hand it over to Kevin Wheeler here in a couple minutes. First, Mike has a ghost story. Thank you, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey guys, what's going on? So this goes back quite a ways. My aunt was spending a weekend at her brother's house in the city, and they had back then they had a sheet separating the living room area where she was sleeping from the kitchen. And they heard the back door rattling in the kitchen to the back room. Well, my uncle got up, looked around, nothing's there. My aunt was asleep. A little bit later, it does it again. Well, she woke when she sat up to see what was going on. The sheet pulled to one side, and a dark figure stood there and waved to her. And then the sheet went back, and it went away. Well, my uncle got up and went and looked, and in the kitchen, the door was open, but the deadbolt was still out in a locked position.
Mm.
And about 15 minutes later, after that happened, but they got a phone call that my great uncle, had passed away.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Man, I hear so many stories like that. So many stories where someone has a dream about someone, and then they find out that they just passed away, or mm-hmm. someone gets a visit from someone, and they find out that they passed away. I kind of wish something like that would happen to me, but I really kind of hope it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know yeah. what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. They got the phone call, and then they sat down and realized what had just happened, that he was coming to tell them goodbye.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, that's... It's like if my dad, who's been dead since 2002, if I woke up and he was standing at the foot of my bed, I wonder if I would scream?
It's a great question.
Or if I'd cry and be like, Daddy,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think you'd do, Tones? Thank you, yeah. Mike.
And won't surprise anybody that this is actually something I've thought about in the past. I think you can't help but be
startled.
Yeah, because it's so unnatural. But I think if you're certain that that is your loved one, I don't think I would be like terrified.
Mm-hmm. If you could, if you knew you could contact your dad legit for real, mm-hmm, through a psychic medium, would you want to?
Yes.
Or you would?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Rach, how about you?
I probably wouldn't. Now, I have not lost someone as close to me as my father, so the pull could be a lot different, but I don't like seances and stuff.
Yeah.
I've been around them for the Halloween show and stuff, and I don't think that I would do it.
What about you? I'd want confirmation of
right.
the other side. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Right,
like,
right, yeah.
As much as I'd like to hear from my loved ones.
I think
again.
If I could know if there's some way, mm-hmm, I would want to. But if I couldn't, I mean, like when we went to the Sally house, that's about as close as you can come to being pretty sure that my brother was speaking to me through
yeah.
that device.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The chances of that happening were like almost nothing. But I mm-hmm. still am not comfortable that it wasn't something else.
Yeah. Right. Someone pretending to be your brother.
Yeah, you go to a haunted house and you start asking questions and the spirit, the demon, the ghost, whatever goes, oh, this guy lost his brother. Let's do that. Going to hand it over to Kevin Wheeler. Thanks for listening. Be back tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.